Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, and actually I started this article last week. It's The Truth About Lies, and it has to do with outsmarting fraud. It's by Doug Shadle. So the premise is, if I lie to you, I assume you are lying to me. And by the same token, people who lie less also assume others do not lie as often. This is an important part. If you are like most people, you assume that those around you are roughly as truthful or deceitful as you are, and you act in accordance with that belief. And when people deviate from that, it can come as a surprise. Is this simple naivete, or is there a more important psychological mechanism at play? Hancock hardly thinks that trust is a character flaw. In fact, it's the difference between well-functioning societies and ones that are stuck with corruption. The U.S. does well, in part, because of the laws and regulations we have, which help us trust one another. This reduces the cost of social interactions. It's arguably the perfect time for such an observation. With the proliferation of fraud and lying around us today, I find myself telling people to be wary all the time. Hancock thinks there is a middle ground. We want people to be able to trust. What you could say is, when something is high stakes, when we're talking about a big financial move or important decision, that's when they need to become more analytical or by the numbers. In other words, be aware that there are many different levels of falsehoods operating around you. As you encounter people or organizations outside your circle of trust, don't assume they will act with the same ethics and honesty that you do. Be skeptical. Look at the culture they come from, and grant trust to strangers stingily and carefully. And if they want you to hand over your money for any purpose, apply the Shadle rule, formulated after 40 years of chasing dishonest scam artists. Guilty until proven innocent. Now let's move on to an article from the magazine Healthy Health Immunity Protect Yourself. This article is about hair loss, and it's fairly lengthy, and I'm just going to give you the introduction, and then I'm going to tell you 8 ways to help thinning hair. My immune system attacked my hair. On the worst of your bad hair days, you might be tempted to say you're just about ready to shave your head, but maybe don't joke about that. The mane that's giving you so many problems today could start falling out tomorrow, and you'll be wishing you still had the frizzy or flat or brittle mess you were just cursing. I know, because it happened to me. This article is by Megan Keita. I've always taken my wavy, shoulder-length hair for granted, but one evening I was mindlessly scratching the back of my head and I felt skin near my crown where there should not have been so much skin. I headed to my bathroom and pulled out a pocket mirror. I was horrified by what I saw, completely bare, half-dollar-sized patches of pale skin, surrounded by my otherwise healthy hair. Cue instant, all-consuming panic. Now, as all of us get older, we tend to have more and more of these problems. So let's look at 8 ways to help thinning hair. Factors such as stress and diet may also cause hair to fall out, but there are some effective strategies that can help manage the problem and help prevent future loss. Stressless. Significant psychosocial stresses can result in hair loss, explains Joshua Zeichner, MD. In a phenomenon called telogen effluvium, stress shocks hairs to move into the resting phase in which they all fall out at once. This is the very same type of condition that women typically experience after they give birth or after a major surgical procedure. These patients typically develop rapid thinning of the hair along the temples. Finding stress management techniques is key, whether it's practicing meditation or yoga, hitting the gym, or adopting a mantra. Watch what you eat. Protein is critical to healthy hair, says Francesca J. Fusco, MD. Lean meat, fish, poultry, and beans are all great sources. Iron is also important. Low iron can lead to anemia, which can lead to increased hair shedding. The great news is that with proper diet and supplementation, this type of hair loss is reversible. Deficiencies in biotin and zinc are also associated with hair loss, and magnesium is necessary for healthy hair growth. Try a supplement. Taking a natural vitamin supplement that's designed to boost hair growth can help. And even multivitamins can give your hair a boost, says Dr. Zeichner. The two most popular hair supplements on the market that have been evaluated and shown to help promote healthy hair are Nutrafol, $88 at Amazon.com, and Viviscal, $130 for 180 tablets at Amazon.com. You can use a topical treatment. The only topical treatment that has been approved by the FDA for hair loss in women is Monodextil, better known by the brand name Women's Rogaine. It's $44 for a 4-month supply at Amazon.com. The topical version helps lengthen the active growing stage of hairs and promotes healthy delivery of oxygen and nutrients to the hair follicles. Talk to your dermatologist before trying this treatment. Try essential oils. As a natural alternative to Rogaine, essential oils may be worth a try. In one small study, alopecia areata patients massaged rosemary, peppermint, thyme, and lavender in a mixture of jojoba or grapeseed oil into their scalps daily, while a control group used only the oils. 44% of the participants in the essential oils group showed improvement compared with just 15% of the control group. Before trying essential oils, discuss them with your dermatologist. Treat your hair with care. Another way to save your strands is to always treat them gently. That means no rough combing, and never brush hair when it's wet and weak. Skip styles that pull, such as tight ponytails and updos. Never vigorously towel dry, which leads to breakage. Take a break from daily blowouts and overstyling, which irritate the scalp. Ditch your dandruff. Another surprising culprit, dandruff. As flaking builds up, or if the scalp itches and scratching ensues, inflammation can lead to excessive shedding. I see this a lot because women don't use their dandruff shampoo regularly because the ones they have used are medicinal and not beautifying. How to disguise your thinning hair. It may take months for you to regrow your hair, and it may not grow back at all. In the meantime, you can reduce the appearance of hair loss with a good thick haircut and a few easy styling tricks. Long or short layers can make a difference. Change your part frequently to give hair a lift and use volumizers and dry shampoo for a boost. Batiste dry shampoos, $6 at Amazon, can help with volume. Apply them to roots. Also, trimming off a couple of inches will add volume. Get rid of the excess weight of longer hair and help hide any thinning areas. But if you don't want to go shorter, get layers that frame the face and mask fine hairlines. You can also camouflage thinning hair with spray-on root touch-up products or even eyeshadow. Brush on Madison Reed Root Touch-Up, $30 at Ulta.com. For a quick, easy fix, there are a number of hair mascaras to disguise growing out roots, which also bulk up the appearance. Still losing strands even after you've made these lifestyle tweaks? If excessive shedding continues for more than a month, see your doctor. Now we're going back to the Essential Retirement Guide. This time, let's look at the role of rebalancing. Stay on track by adjusting your investments. When you first invested, you may have crafted the perfect mix of stocks, bonds, and cash based on your age and goals, financial situation, and risk tolerance. But as the years go by and the markets fluctuate, that mix will naturally be pulled out of balance. Not only that, your investment needs are likely to change once you've retired. Rebalancing your portfolio gives you a chance to review your investments and make sure they meet your current needs. What is rebalancing? It is the process of assessing your asset allocation and adjusting it to reflect your intentions. For example, if you're ready to shift to a lower risk investment strategy, you may find your stocks are taking up a bigger portion of your portfolio than you had planned, even if they're doing well. To make your portfolio more conservative, you could shift some of your investment away from stocks and into less risky vehicles like bonds or CDs. Dividing your investments among varying assets classes is not the only requirement for maintaining a balanced portfolio. You should also aim to diversify your investments within each asset class. For instance, you might spread your stock holdings among companies of various sizes, sectors, and locations. You can diversify bond holdings across sector, maturity, credit, quality, and geography. As the economy and business cycles evolve, various investments and markets will perform differently. A diverse portfolio minimizes the risk that only one investment or sector will undermine your entire retirement plan. When to rebalance? Set a regular time frame in which to review your investments, such as once or twice a year. An annual review is a good minimum with additional check-ins following any big life changes, such as a move, a death in the family, or any type of serious medical issue. Alternately, you might decide to rebalance whenever your portfolio is out of balance by a certain amount. If you choose to follow this strategy, you might assess your portfolio when your mix of investments fluctuates away from your target allocation by 5 percentage points, for example. Reviewing your investment. A thorough rebalancing process offers an opportunity to review your portfolio as a whole. When it's time to rebalance, start by reviewing your mutual fund holdings, determining how each fund has performed compared to its benchmark, an index listed in the fund's prospectus. By design, of course, low-cost index funds will track their underlying index very closely, while actively managed mutual funds aim to beat the performance of their benchmark index. If you hold actively managed funds, it's worth checking out documents such as annual reports and other filings that will tell you about big changes. Keep an eye out for any major shifts, such as new investment strategies, a new portfolio manager, or fee increases. As you're assessing your holdings, bear in mind that the key to successful investing is assembling a well-diversified portfolio and holding it for long term. As a general rule, you may want to avoid having a single security represent more than 10% of your portfolio's value. How to rebalance? After you've reviewed your investments, it's time to make any changes necessary to bring your portfolio in line with your plan. The quickest and simplest method of correcting imbalances simply requires you to sell one type of investment and buy another type with different characteristics. For instance, if your overall portfolio became more exposed to market risk than your strategy calls for, you might decide to sell off some of your riskier stocks and use the proceeds to buy an equivalent amount of relatively safer bonds. If you're comfortable rebalancing at a slower pace, you can use new contributions to correct imbalances. In the scenario above, you could direct all new contributions to your bond funds. Over time, the balance of your holdings will gradually shift back toward your target. Readjusting the balance of your portfolio as needed can help minimize risk and keep your investment portfolio healthy. If you remain disciplined about rebalancing throughout your retirement, you will ensure you're staying on track to maintain the life you've been planning for. Now we're going to move on to an article by Robert Love of AARP. He is editor-in-chief. Life is a family affair. In sickness and in health, youth and old age, who you gonna call? Ask Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett has led a charmed life. Blessed with one of the greatest voices in American popular music, his career has spanned more than 70 years. As a young man, he trained like an opera singer on the GI Bill. He honored his instrument by applying it to the best of the great American songbook. This path has served him well and glorified his listeners' ears, even to this day in his 95th year on earth. Bennett is also a gifted visual artist, a painter whose works hang in museums around the country. But his biggest blessing, as you will see in our story, Breaking the Silence, is his close family. And we'll read that story at another time. Tony's wife, Susan, cares for him as deeply as ever. His son, Danny, manages his father's career. At 93, Tony was performing before audiences right up until the pandemic shut down theaters in March of last year, an unbroken 8-decade run, starting with his performing days as a big band vocalist during World War II. In the 50s, his sister managed his career, and in the 80s and 90s, son Danny rescued his father from crashing in the rapids of the wild and fickle record business, repackaging him as an MTV star, but never changing his tunes. His son Day worked with him in the recording studio. Daughters Antonia and Joanna surround him with love, and his granddaughter Kelsey photographed him for this article. And it's a wonderful picture. It shows him and Susan with dog Happy, and they're all leaning in together, and they all have big smiles. And then there's also a picture of Tony with his son Danny in 2002, and they also have beautiful smiles. If life slowly parts us from our youthful gifts as we age, it is family who fill in our gaps and cushion our journey, if we're lucky. As his family reveals publicly for the first time, Tony Bennett has Alzheimer's disease, the most common form of dementia. It was diagnosed in 2015, but he was able to keep it a private matter until now because it hasn't interfered with his singing. Those who have studied dementia marvel at the mysterious role music can play. People who have lost cognitive ability and long-term memory can still sing, word for word, the songs of their youth. The reason for this phenomenon is not well understood, but its blessings have been clear in the lives of Alzheimer's patients. With the completion of a new album with Lady Gaga, the Bennett family trusted us to tell this latest chapter of the singer's story with honesty and dignity. We turned our best-selling author, John Colapinto, a former New Yorker staff writer with an abiding interest in neuroscience, who had just finished 3.5 years of research on a book about the human voice. He says, John's new work, This is the Voice, examines the human voice via the brain, from the lowly motor system to the gleaming cortex, seat of thought, reason, and language. AARP is committed to fighting dementia in all its forms. We fund research to better understand and treat the disease. We provide online resources to help patients and families navigate it. We seek to empower Americans to preserve their brain health by following the expert advice in a new AARP-supported book by Sanjay Gupta, MD. Keep Sharp, Build a Better Brain at Any Age. That's the name of the book. Based in part on the work of AARP's Global Council on Brain Health, and as a founding member of the Alliance to Improve Dementia Care, AARP advocates for reshaping the healthcare system to better serve patients and their caregivers. We know the Bennett family embodies a best-case scenario for dementia care because they have the time and resources to keep Tony safe and cared for at home. AARP believes that every American family should have the same opportunity. What it will take, says Sarah Locke, AARP's Senior Vice President for Policy and Brain Health, is a concerted effort among scientists and hospitals, advocates, businesses, and government at all levels to find solutions that work for all. This is a problem we can fix, says Locke, but we need everybody on board. Now we have an article from the magazine AARP, Up Front, the A-List, 7 Things Norma Kamali Says to Do Now. Being flexible is critical for both the body and the mind. When you're flexible, you're able to adjust to new challenges. When you're inflexible, you break. And that was a quote from Norma Kamali, who is 75. 1. Go low. When I started working from home last March, I thought I really don't want to put shoes on. Now I wear slides and socks to work. This is my uniform. Start over. To stay relevant, you have to be willing to change. I've just retooled my whole company and even put together a new category of clothing called day pajamas for people working from home. Mask up. When the pandemic ends, things won't go back to the way they were. I get allergies in May and September, but I didn't have them last year because I was wearing a mask. Guess who's going to wear a mask in May and September from now on? Go fast. Intermittent fasting, for example, going 12 or 14 hours without eating, helps my body function better. You're giving your body time to rest and repair itself. Plan your Z's. A good night's sleep is the most invigorating thing. You look better, you feel better, and your brain works better. Plan ahead. If I'd had a handbook when I was younger on what to expect from life, I would have been so grateful. So I decided to write one. I am invincible. 20-year-olds who read the book will get a big view ahead, and I hope the 75-year-olds who read it will see that they have power. They have promise. How cool is that? And finally, 7, bide your time. I married and divorced young. For years, I thought romantic love was for other people. Then, at 65, I met my soulmate, and now we're engaged. I would not have been ready for this person earlier in my life. So if you're looking for a partner, be kind to yourself. Maybe like me, your schedule is different. And this article was as told to Margaret Guroff. Pioneering fashion designer Norma Kamali is the author of the new book, I Am Invincible. Now we have a number of suggestions here. The helpers of YouTube. These older people have found a purpose on the video website, passing on their years of knowledge. We have woodworking for mere mortals. Steve Ramsey, 54. Ramsey's father got him into woodworking when he was 12. Now he makes videos for beginners. It's not just about making things. It's rewarding to see things move from conception to completion. At Home with Nikki. Nikki Boyd, who's 50. When Boyd's husband retired from the Air Force 10 years ago, she asked herself, what am I going to do with my life? She made videos about organizing. Now, she has friends all over the world that have the same passion. Dad, how do I? Rob Kinney, who's 56, tackles helpful topics like how to fix a toilet and how to grill a meal. He says, my daughter was talking about her church group, and it dawned on us that not everyone had a good relationship with their dad. So he's filling in. Should you buy phone insurance? What to consider before purchasing? So this is a separate short article. The cost. Fees tend to run around $10 per month. Deductibles can be $200 or more. Over time, you're going to pay more than the cost of a new phone, says B. Fowler of Consumer Reports. Other coverage? Some credit cards provide automatic protection against phone theft or damage. Physical protection? Insuring a phone by putting a case on it isn't a bad idea, said A.V. Greengart with Market Research. And that was by Mark Stein. Who wants your old records and tapes? For decades, we collected our favorite music. Now, with just a few clicks, you can stream it wherever you are. Here's how to get rid of that unneeded media. Resale. There's a hot market, especially for 60s, 70s, and 90s rock. At the thrift store? Yes. At the library? Yes. Recycle? No need. Shrinking market, but box sets remain in demand with collectors. Thrift store, yes. Library, maybe. Recycle, check search.earth911.com. Growing market among teens and 20-somethings, yes. Library, no. Recycle, try greendisc.com. 8-tracks. Sought by specialized collectors and classic car enthusiasts. Thrift store? No. Library? No. Recycling? Try TerraCycle.com. And I think we have time for just one milestone birthday, maybe two. Jane Seymour, February 15th. Dr. Quinn Atress and Bond Girl now relishes the role of Oma to her 6 grandkids. Awesome. Kurt Russell, birthday March 17th, actor is also an instrument-rated pilot and admits that he can't live without flying. Melissa Manchester, February 15th, midnight blues singer re-recorded her hits for her latest album. She's 70. Jane Seymour is 70, and Kurt Russell is 70. Tim Meadows, whose birthday is February 5th, comic of Saturday Night Live fame, grew up in Detroit and is a Tigers fan with a home near the ballpark, and he's 60. Ewan McGregor, March 31st, Scottish actor, he will play Discovery celebrity designer Halston in a new Netflix miniseries, and he's 50. And finally, Sarah Evans, February 5th, country singer, opens up about love, faith, and career in her recent memoir, Born to Fly. She is 50. Well, folks, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.